All right, let me jump on into the Right Side Way opening monologue, and I'll remind you guys, every single day, the Right Side Way monologue is brought to you by attorney Stan McDonald, and I'll tell you more about Stan McDonald here in just a few minutes. So, the Right Side Way. A few years ago, I realized I had never actually read the classic book, To Kill a Mockingbird, by Alabama's own Harper Lee. I mean, how did that happen? How did I miss that one along the way? I mean, was it not required reading somewhere in my educational journey? Apparently not. A world-renowned Pulitzer Prize-winning classic with Alabama roots. So I found a copy and I commenced a reading and quickly saw why it was a classic. In 2006, a group of British librarians ranked To Kill a Mockingbird as one of the books that every adult should read before they die. It's a tale that has a lot of reality in it, of things that should never happen in any society, not the least of which is the abuse of the justice system. And despite being a work of fiction, there are some great truths in it. One of my favorite quotes of all time is in it. I have a notebook where I keep like favorite quotes, and I had written this one in there. It comes as the main character, Atticus Finch, is defending a black man in a trial against false claims, and he makes an impassioned plea to the jury. So if you don't mind, let me just read this quote to you. He said, quote, "But there is one way in this country in which all men are created equal. There is one human institution that makes a pauper the equal of a Rockefeller, the stupid man the equal of an Einstein, the ignorant man the equal of any college president. That institution, gentlemen, is a court. It can be the Supreme Court of the United States or the humblest court in the land or this honorable court which you serve. Our courts have their faults," he said, "as does any human institution, but in this country our courts are the great levelers, and in our courts all men are created equal." And I believe that, actually. I mean, I know that some want to say that our justice system is rigged against this kind or that kind, but I believe wholeheartedly that the even application of law in our society does set us apart from so many others in the history of the world. And say what you want, it is still the greatest system of jurisprudence in any country, in my opinion. What bothers me most recently, however, is when those laws are just flagrantly ignored by those whom we've entrusted to enforce them. You see, there's a new trend. We used to speak to the concept of activist judges, but now I believe we must also speak to the onset of a new trend of activists, that's prosecutors and political hacks who choose to ignore the law. I say all this as the news broke this morning that Joe Biden has just done it again. In a sweeping gesture that defies reality and makes no apology for its overreach, Biden just commuted the sentences of nearly 2,500 people in one fell swoop. For those of you liberals who still listen to this show, yes, I am aware that pardon power and the ability to commute sentences are vested in the chief executive of the president. He can do that. But just because he can doesn't mean that he should. Because what Joe Biden just did was create an unequal playing field. He decided, in and of himself, that there's just penalties he doesn't agree with. He didn't look at a case-by-case review of each request for a pardon or commutation. There's no way you can do that with 2,500 in one fell swoop. He looked at the duly enacted laws regarding criminal activity and decided that he knew better than the legislators who put those laws in place. He called it, in his statement, quote, "a chance to equalize sentencing disparities." Huh. He said he believed that there were distinctions between crack and powder cocaine. Apparently that somehow makes a difference. That laws have changed over time. That he needed to, quote, "right historic wrongs." The statement that was issued by his office ended by saying, quote, "with this action, I have now issued more individual pardons and commutations than any president in U.S. history." And he's right. He signed off on 1,500 or more just last week. And then he took nearly every one of the 40 federal death row inmates off of death row. And oh, by the way, lest we forget, he pardoned his son for anything and everything that may or may not have occurred between the years 2014 and 2024, to include Hunter Biden's dishonorable discharge from the Navy for drug use. I mean, the whole thing just boggles the mind. What Joe Biden just said to the world is that he's soft on crime, and he does not consider the work done by law enforcement or prosecutors to be near as important as his singular judgment. Meanwhile, law-abiding citizens watch and wonder if they would ever get such consideration. But this has been the trend. Activist prosecutors have been filling out the ranks as district attorneys in major cities, several of them funded during their elections by George Soros, the same George Soros who Joe Biden just awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Joe Biden, man, loved to coddle the criminals. But let me bring it home for you. That's Joe Biden, the chief executive of the country. What about mayors? What about governors? What about Mayor Randall Woodfin of Birmingham, Alabama, who determined on his own that municipal court drug possession charges should not be prosecuted? He went so far as to issue blanket exonerations of prior convictions in April of 2021, calling it his Pardons for Progress program. Birmingham City Hall actually has an Office of Pardons for Progress with its own website. Is that really his role? The laws are on the books and enacted by the legislature. Should a mayor of one of the largest cities in the Southeast United States be able to choose to disavow the laws? We're not talking about pardons on an individual case-by-case basis. We're talking about blanket exoneration because the executive just doesn't like the law. What signal does that send to law enforcement officers and prosecutors? Here's another one. Did you hear that the mayor of the small town of Springville, Alabama, decided a couple of years ago he was going to run for governor? Wasn't much of a campaign. I don't think he's much of a mayor either. In his own words, he was running for governor and he smokes pot. What? Yeah, apparently he wants to see that law change, but apparently he also isn't aware that not only has he chosen to be a lawbreaker, but that as governor, he would not be the one enacting the laws. Or would he espouse a position that says the chief executive of the state can pick and choose? Why not? Mayor Randall Woodfin does. Joe Biden does. And then there's Kay Ivey. And yes, she's a Republican, and yes, I'm going to call something out. You may have heard the legislature is once again considering the expansion of casino gaming in the state. Here we go again. Because surely that's the most important thing for us to be focused on. Well, let's put aside how any of you might or might not feel about casinos being placed around the state. The bill that was last considered was intended to write into state law that several gaming interests in this state who have been breaking our laws, literally breaking our laws, for years, would be rewarded with a monopoly in the divvying up of our state to give them ground to build more casinos. I thought, surely not. I mean, Governor Ivey's not going to stand for that. But would she? Apparently she would. As she issued a statement that said that enforcement of the laws on gaming was kind of hard. Hard. You heard me. The chief executive of our state thought it was just too hard to enforce the laws. So as a result, she was prepared to sign the legislation if the legislature could get it done. In her words, and this is a quote, quote, right now, gambling is going on. Much of it's illegal, and it's done in the shadows. We need to put laws on the books that control gambling, enforce it, and then be able to tell the people of Alabama that are the beneficiaries of the proceeds. Let me translate that for you into language of non-politicians. Gambling's illegal, but I don't have the will to enforce the current law. Let's just legalize it, and I'll try to be better at enforcing the laws once I know I can make some money off of it. That's what she's saying. I mean, I guess we could say that about prostitution. Or illegal drug use. Heck, let's open the floodgates to anything we're uncomfortable with having to enforce. Look, I got news for these executives at the local, state, and federal level. You have one job, just one. That job involves the enforcement of the laws of the land. You don't make the laws, you enforce them. Folks, the laws of this nation are to be enacted by the various legislative bodies at all levels and enforced by the executive branch. City councils pass things that mayors have to enforce. Governors have to enforce what the legislature does, and the president enforces what Congress does. And executives like mayors, governors, and presidents, they cannot choose to provide blanket cover for the abuses of legal systems by perpetrators, from the smallest drug possession case to the illegal gambling operations and those who don't pay taxes or whatever else. Pardon power is one thing. Commutations of sentencing, that's one thing. Looking at a case-by-case basis based upon a name-by-name appeal, I understand that. This is not that. This is executives choosing simply to say, I don't like that law. I'm just going to wipe it out and make it all null and void. But if we're to be a nation of laws, the laws must matter. It really boils down to that. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way.